your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. I'm excited to have Daryl Whitlaw, Chief Product Officer at Proper. Daryl, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate you having me on.
Great having you on. And, you know, Daryl, you kind of have been, you know, ahead of the times and ahead of the trends throughout your whole career. You know, you were the founder of a mobile agency called Mirror, which was acquired by Publicis. And then you founded a product design consultancy called Siberia, which was then acquired by Essential. And now you're over at Proper. And I think it'd be great to hear present day, like what led you to Proper?
Yeah, I mean, look, it always comes down to I was a designer who liked to play with the internet. When I was in high school, I had someone who taught me the basics of, you know, HTML and CSS and how to make websites. And I'd always had a bit of an interest in just, you know, pretty things. Just got involved that way. Was pretty active in the local independent music scene. You know, so got to work making 7-inch records and doing posters for shows and things like that. That led me to working in the music industry as a designer, doing websites and album packaging. From there, when the music industry started to completely cave in on itself, switched over to working in the apparel world. And that was actually really cool to work with a bunch of high fashion people making, you know, everything from websites to trade show booths and things like that. And that led me ultimately into the advertising industry. And I spent quite a few years there. That was the funny part is the advertising industry was really what brought me into the product design world, you know, because as everybody started trying to grasp towards that in the late 2000s of like, you know, what is a digital experience that transcends a website? And there are people who did this way better than I ever did. It ultimately turned into people beginning to open up their eyes to what was happening in the tech industry and the way product was popping there. And, you know, it was about so much more than just design and experience, but it was about actual businesses and service models around it. So that's, you know, when I started Mirror, that was really the thing that got me towards that world. And so getting into that was the thing that really opened up the ability for me to make these kind of products and understand the businesses that go behind them. So after doing that for 10, 11 years for a bunch of other people, I was lucky enough to be able to put it into an industry that's such an uncharted place when it comes to digital products and experiences for consumers like cannabis. So that's really been the fun part about doing it at Proper.
Cool. And so maybe give us a little glimpse of, you know, what Proper does and all the great things that you're kind of bringing to life for consumers.
So there's a lot of marketing jargon that we pick and choose who gets what, because we do touch a couple of different verticals. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what we talk about with it is that we help people make sense of weed. So, you know, you're a consumer and you're searching for the best vape pen in West LA. You'll Google that. You know, we're typically a very high ranking result. We pull people in. We demystify all of this stuff about cannabis for people. We point them towards what's right for them. And then we point them towards the place that they can acquire that within 45 minutes of delivery or within 3 miles of their front doorstep. So that's, I mean, if you were to like summarize what the consumer proposition of Proper is, that is it right there. You know, we capture intent and interest, and we turn that into commerce action.
Yeah. And I think, one thing that I really love about what you guys do is, you know, you really give all of the data around products, where I personally have found that it's so hard to find out like, well, what does this product do? Like, what are the effects of it? Like, what, you know, should I take this if I'm going out with friends or if I'm staying, you know, staying home?
Right.
There's never really like a lot of resources for that. You know, it's kind of a guessing game.
Well, and that is exactly what the platform was built for, was to take that guessing game away and that know the high before you buy logic. So, you know, one of the big parts about it is that, first off, I just want to be totally clear. Everyone's body is different and everyone reacts to cannabis differently. So, you know, what we try to do in our testing is we try to point people towards the right indicators. You know, when you have a couple of people who all say that they had the same general vibe, you know where that's going. And it's one of the reasons why we try to break things out into the, you know, instead of just making it about a score and saying this is good cannabis or it's bad cannabis, we look at the effects and we look at the good fours, you know, so, you know, is it, and even takeoff and, you know, what the head high is, what the body high is. We try to break out all of the data into extremely digestible, like micro reports. That way you can get it, you can get a true vibe for what you're going to be consuming. You know, and I personally love it because, you know, whenever people come back to me with like, I didn't have anything that was like what was on your page. It's like, well, that's exactly how it works. You know, like it's going to be different for you sometimes, but the overwhelming majority of people will probably have something that feels in the same world.
Right. Now, interesting, you know, you came on board over at Proper as the chief strategy officer, and you're now the chief product officer. So I'm just curious, like I've been through that all through my career, you know, kind of changing roles a little bit, but I'm just curious for you, like what was it that, you know, made you do a little bit of a switch?
So Proper is actually pretty near and dear to me overall. The way the whole company came about was my friends, John and Doug, who had been working with Flocana and, you know, a couple other cannabis things before that, had really gotten into this like position of passion around the cannabis industry. And they really wanted to solve big problems here. This is when I was running Siberia at the time. And my friend Harry was, you know, also very starting to get very deep into the cannabis industry, you know, investments, about, you know, building out different companies. And I just introduced them because they all said they wanted to do something and they were all looking for somebody who did a very similar thing in business and design and technology. So got them together and they ended up starting the company that became Proper. I got the privilege of helping them build the first iteration of the product at Siberia just on the side. You know, got the privilege of being an advisor to the company for the first 2 years. Really was very heavily invested in their success. But you know, because I had my own company, it wasn't my success. So what happened at the end of 2019 was I ended up being here in Los Angeles. I wasn't doing anything. And it just ended up, you know, being a good time. So when I joined, my friend John was the chief product officer here, and John's brilliant. And I will tell you what you see in the way the breakout of the reports and all of these, you know, the elegance of Proper is John. Like he's one of the most brilliant designers, you know, completely understands at the most basic levels, like what resonates with people. And he made an exceptional consumer product out of this. So
I got to tell you, he did a really great job.
Yeah. It's killer. And that's also what makes it so easy for me to slide into that role. But, anyway, in 2019, when I came on, it became very much around what was the company missing. And that was a focus on revenue productization. Yeah, and being able to look at the ecosystem of Proper and say, how can we actually begin to monetize this? You know, what do we do with data? What are our offerings to consumers that can be monetized? What are our offerings as a B2B company and for different companies that can be monetized? So I came in as the chief strategy officer to just begin working with the whole team on how that restructures and how that becomes a company moving forward that has bigger monetization aspirations. In the beginning of this year, John decided that he was, you know, just not into it. You know, he needed a change of pace, which, you know, is very, very common. I've been there myself, you know, and we agreed that I would take over as chief product officer. But like I said, you know, John left the basis of a great experience that all I had to do was figure out how to turn it into something that generated dollars. So, you know, it was a good thing, you know, still friends. He's still, you know, still a shareholder in the company. You know, and always there when you got a question, especially when we're trying to figure out where something is in Google Drive, as I'm sure you've been there before too.
Yes. So I had a couple questions for you guys, just as like, you know, you're this incredible, you know, recommendation discoverability platform. And I see like so many different products coming out, and especially as, you know, cannabis is more mainstream and, you know, acceptable and especially, you know, you being in California, it's kind of like, you know, a whole new world over there. I'm based in New York. I'm seeing a lot of beverage brands starting to proliferate, you know, and different products, both from like a CBD perspective and a THC perspective. And I'm just curious, you know, and you might not have an answer to this, but on your platform, like, are you starting to see a lot of these beverage brands pop up? Are consumers interested in it? Are they drinking it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would, this is like the moment where you want to make the shout out, I guess, to a company like Can. Yeah. I mean, amazing. If you go on proper, they released three products.
I saw those and I got to tell you, it made me thirsty because they, like, the flavors are
Don't get me wrong. Like, I call it out, not just because I think we've rated over 2,500 products, I believe.
Yeah.
And there's only 18 that have a score of 100 or more, if memory serves.
They got 100. They have a score of 100.
100. Sorry. Yes.
Sorry, wow.
100. Not 100 or more. That would be really difficult to do. but yeah, Can drops three products and two of them score 100. I mean, it's almost unheard of. So I think there's a natural progression that we're going to see in the industry of more things becoming beverage based. Same thing. I don't know if you tried this Artet yet. It's really good. And that's the thing is that, you know, more and more people as they, you know, obviously, you know, you had your people who just were like, I'm not going to smoke a joint, you know, I'm not going to buy a bong, you know, great. You know, then it was like, I'm not going to use vaporizers. And like, you're kind of like backing yourself into this corner of an industry of, for the most part, outside of your purists, you're going to be edibles.
Who's rating the products?
Oh, so we have a thing called the Proper Cannabis Committee, and it's over 100 raters who are actually we don't do the rating through any kind of submission system. If you're a brand, you can't buy your way into a rating. You know, we pick what we want and we distribute that blindly to what we call the Proper Cannabis Committee. So they get these products, they're paid to trial them. Blind, they don't know what they're getting. They fill out. They work through an app called Deep Search that we built that allows us to aggregate all of the data from, and it checks in with them, you know, every 15, 30 minutes throughout the progression of the high, you know, and that's what allows us to create those great reports. So these are real people who are, you know, you could call them professionals, because at the end of the day, they've got the experience in consumption. They understand the different kinds of products. They stay to the things that they know and that they don't have a bias against. And they're also not getting anything that they know the brand. So you can't say, oh, you know, like this was the packaging really sold me. So the high was great, you know, or like, I know I like this brand. So because of that, I'm just going to give it a high rating. They never know what they're trying. They just get to try it. It's a pretty great and honest and straightforward system.
It's super cool. And I think that's just from like a business perspective, that's really, it's a great model too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is that if you look at your business, and this has always been the difficult part of proper, is that, you know, there's been a world where it was always, what is the thing that can generate revenue? You know, and I've always looked at proper as, you know, what is the thing that generates data? You know, and yes, it was going to take a little while for it to get there. But at the end of the day, it was about having data about products and it was having data about consumers. And this is something that I learned while I was at Nike, you know, is that if you understood your consumer and you understood your product, you could actually know someone to serve them. And that's what we really have driven with proper is that how do we know people to serve them? You know, the more we understand about what you like, the more we can recommend what's good for you. The more that we understand about, you know, where you are, the better we can target where, you know, where you can get that within 45 minutes or 3 miles of your front doorstep. So, you know, for us, the transactional relationship of data with the customer is the business that we've wanted to be in. And that's not about selling data of customers. It's actually about utilizing that to create better experiences for them between the brands and the retailers in the industry.
Absolutely. So when you're thinking about, you know, at least in your role right now, your background is obviously product and design. So how are you looking at that lens now for the site?
We are in a very big moment of change. Actually, this month, user accounts. we'll be releasing on proper. Something we haven't had to date. And we're really excited about that one because it lets people actually begin to drill down into what is best for them. And it allows us to begin to roll out deeper personalization and ways of making sure that people are getting only what they want. So, you know, user accounts are obviously step one in a much greater process around that. But, you know, it's a big deal. I mean, the other thing as well is that, we talk about revenue driving products and the importance of that. We just launched our Pulse product this week. We've got our first brands coming onto it and we're really excited about that one. And that's because usually when I talk about the cannabis industry, I talk about how anywhere you can remove friction from in something that's so hyper-regulated, the better. And we know that there is going to be no direct-to-consumer environment at scale for cannabis products anytime soon. But what we've realized is that we now have the shopping network where brands can have a virtualized e-commerce and direct-to-consumer experience. So we've been rolling out what's called Pulse, which is essentially a commerce button that allows you to add our Buy It Now links to your own products and your own pages. And we get really excited about this one as well because we feel like it's going to help level up how cannabis brands think about marketing, which I'm sure, coming out of Philo, you understand the importance of the sea change that has to happen there. You know, that brands right now, because it's not looked at as like, well, why would I send them to my website when I can't really do anything from my website? And because of that, they underinvest in their brand and they overinvest in, packaging and being at retail and things like that. You know, what we want to do is we want to show people that you can own your audience and you can own your brand and you can actually help people acquire your product that way. So it is a place that's worth investing in. So, by creating a virtualized e-commerce tool that allows brands to start to begin to build that direct consumer relationship and get the data about those consumers so that they can actually understand how their purchasing habits are working and what they're doing, that's really important. So we're hoping that we'll have our first three partnerships rolled out on that in the next few weeks. But it's been, 2 months of building out the backbone of that based off of the other product offerings we had. So, for us, it's like everything boils down to product design, but it's no longer about making something pretty. We know we're pretty. What we want now is we want something that's useful and usable in consumers' lives. And we want something that lets our partners in the industry look at us as a critical piece of their business operation and their plan. We want to be an underlying SaaS element for the cannabis industry.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit about, trends and what's going on. I mean, I think you guys have access to so many different products and you hear so much from consumers and, what's kind of top of mind for them. Is there anything that you see right now that's a little different or out of the ordinary? I mean, obviously, we've been going through this crisis and this global pandemic. So
I was about to make you qualify that. Do you just mean the last 4 weeks?
Yeah, a lot of people are like, ordering stuff and delivery. But I'm just curious, have you seen anything unusual from a data perspective?
From a data perspective, I would say the unusual is not there. The only thing that's happened in the past 4 weeks, especially, has been volume. Everybody has seen more. Every delivery service is delivering more. Every brick and mortar retailer is getting more pickups. For us, we're seeing a lot more traffic. But these are also things that come with, there's increased time. And you are the same way California classified us as an essential business is because cannabis is essential in people's lives. So, we're definitely not going to see that slow down. And I think that's the thing that it's not weird. It's just good. We're really appreciative of that. And I think everyone should be appreciative of that. Overarching trends we've seen, has just been there has been a huge uptick. If you keep an eye on search trends and things like that, cannabis, the specificity with which people are beginning to search at the brand level means that branding's working. We're seeing less and less people just search about weed and more people search about Serbinski's. you know?
Right. Exactly.
So, you know, that's a big, you know, and you know, mind you, most of this, when I talk about, we're talking about California. But as a mature market, I think it's the right one to really look at. But that's probably been the most telling thing coming out, you know, out of Q1, especially, is just that it's starting to work. People are starting to understand that it's not just about Bud, that it's about brands.
Right. Is it Q2 now?
Oh my God. Yeah, it is.
Every day I wake up, I'm like, is today, what day is it?
Well, it's
Friday doesn't seem like Friday anymore. Friday seems like Monday, and Monday seems Saturday. It's like
I heard a great joke that the only day that matters is Tuesday, because that was their garbage day. They're like, I don't know what day it is ever, unless it's Tuesday. Tuesday is garbage day.
Yeah, Tuesday is garbage day at my house too. And there's been a few times actually recently that I forgot to put everything out, and it was there until the next week. So I'm on that train too.
When I used to live in San Francisco, it was always a huge nightmare for me because I would almost religiously forget to do it. And then I would have to wake up at 5:30 in the morning and run out the door and get it out there as I heard the garbage truck coming down the road.
Always. Cool. So Daryl, if you've listened to the show before, we kind of talk a little bit about business in the beginning, and then we do kind of a fun quick fire question. Really easy. Just, you know, every show I ask different questions and you just think of the first answer that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Shoot.
All right. So if you could buy any type of food right now, what would you buy?
Sushi.
What color is your toothbrush?
Yellow.
What's your favorite summer activity?
Holy crap, I don't even know.
Well, it's because you're in California, right? It's every day is summer.
That's kind of it. I don't have a summer activity anymore. I love camping. I'm a huge camper, almost to the level of unhealthy. You know, anytime we can unload the kids for 10 days, my wife and I will just drive up and down the West Coast, you know, sometimes up towards, you know, Washington and Canada, and just camp for days on end. You know, it's fun. We even bought the big truck for it and everything. So, that's what I'd say. That's probably my summer activity. It's just that, you know, luckily we all get to do that every day of the week here if we want to, unless it's on fire. You know,
you're lucky. You're lucky. Come to New York right now. It's cold and rainy.
Nope. Never living there again. I did my time.
Do you have any weird quirks?
I have tons of weird quirks. You know, actually, my weirdest quirk is my inability to actually shut up sometimes. That's the, even when the situation is so grossly inappropriate and I should just keep my mouth shut, I just cannot do it. Yet other times I will just not say a word. So the less appropriate it is for me to talk, the more I talk.
So here's a good question, and this is pretty relevant with the times. What was the longest you've gone during the work week without showering?
can we put that into the stages of my professional career? Because when I was touring in a band and living in a van, you know, I'm pretty sure I was able to go at least 5 or 6 days sometimes without showering.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't really have much option, but you know, you hope that's not the case and that you have a place to stay that night. But if not, it doesn't work out. However, this past week I did manage to go 2 entire days, and did not shower, and somebody got on the phone, video chat with me, and my hair was sticking straight up. and they kind of did the, like, you okay over there? I also haven't shaved in like 3.5 weeks. So whereas I normally have a subtle beard, I now have a pretty intense beard. So I think everyone's starting to think that I'm going feral here in my house, but, but I love it.
You and everybody else. Well, Daryl, this was awesome. It was great to hear more about Proper and all the great things you guys are doing over there, and love all the stuff that you're rolling out, and, you know, appreciate you coming on the show.
Like I said, really appreciate the invite. It was great to do it. And, you know, big fans of what you're all doing over there at Philo, and yeah, look forward to what we'll make together in the future as well.
Awesome. This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.